Tonight, we're going to talk about impossible odds. Impossible odds. Have you ever had an impossible odd? All the cards are stacked against you. It looks like you're going to die. It looks like nothing's going to work out, right? I mean, you know, you've been believing God for something for, you know, years and years and years. Well, join the club. Abraham believed for 20 plus years, right? He and Sarah were well past the age of having children. I mean, good grief. I mean, she was Teddy's age. If only Teddy were here. Say, Teddy, you want to get pregnant and have a baby? She'd tell you no. They were faced with tremendous odds against them. The entire nation of Israel went into a land where the founder, Joseph, was second only to Pharaoh, which in that nation, in that time, meant that he had been adopted by Pharaoh. Because you can't have somebody who's not your son succeed you. So he had adopted Joseph. Joseph's family comes into the land. When they left, they were slaves. Man, they were hard-pressed on every side. Didn't look like anything was ever going to work out for them. You ever felt like that? Oh, it's just horrible. Nothing ever works out for me. Oh, poor you. Poor you. Yeah, you don't want to fall into that trap. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. In those days, Hezekiah, who was the king, became terminally ill. Terminally ill. What does terminally ill mean? You're going to die. You are going to die. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, came and said to him, "This is what the Lord says." Here's the prophet. Maybe he's got some good news. "Put your affairs in order. You are about to die. You will not recover." Okay, let's just stop on that for a minute, okay? Pastor comes to you and says, "You better get your affairs in order. You're going to die." The prophet comes knocking on your door. "You better put your affairs in order. You're going to die." What are you going to do? You're going to put your affairs in order because you're going to die. Because that's the way we're trained, isn't it? The doctor says you're going to die. You've got a terminal illness. The prophet says you're going to die. You've got a terminal illness. Verse 2. Do you know it's nice that there's a verse 2 after that? "Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. He said, 'Please, Lord, remember how I have walked before you faithfully and wholeheartedly and have done what pleases you.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly." Oh, God, I've been so good and faithful to you. I've walked with you all the days of my life. I can't do bitter. I'm not real good at bitter. Not really, anyway. "Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. 'Go and tell Hezekiah that this is what the Lord God of your ancestor David says. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Look, I am going to add 15 years to your life.'" He had a death sentence. He was terminally ill. The prophet confirmed it. You're going to die. Get your affairs in order. That's all there is to this. Hezekiah goes to God, prays. He comes to him, and he does this. Come on. Stand up. Listen. We've been through some stuff. I have always been faithful. I have never hit you. I have always, whenever you say do something, I do it for you. Please don't let me die. He's reasoning with God. He comes to God and he reasons together with him. Because God is the one that we can come and we can reason with. When you get a terminal death sentence, don't go publish it on Facebook. Don't call the prayer chain at church, because most people on prayer chains just want to hear what's going on. It's true. It's true. You've been in church before, right? Oh, you know so-and-so? Oh, it's just not good. I saw them coming out of the doctor's office. You should have seen them. Oh, they just looked awful. I asked how they were doing. They said, I really don't want to talk about it. You know that can't be good. You know they're probably going to die. I'm going to call all my friends at church and tell them so we can pray about it. Come on, I've been in church a long time. I've been on prayer chains. I've been on the receiver's end of the prayer chain call. Well, you know, I'm calling on behalf of the church as the prayer group, prayer coordinator. You remember her, right, at Lighthouse? Well, you know, this is the whole story, and blah, 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 da, 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 blah, blah, da, da. You listen to her talk for a half an hour, and then she'd say, okay, well, I just want you to know so you can be praying about it. Again, don't publish everything you hear.
Because it's on the internet.
Come on, I've got a picture of Abraham Lincoln holding an iPhone. Right? You can't believe everything you hear. You can't believe everything that somebody says to you. You can't believe every symptom in your body. You might have really bad cancer symptoms going on in your body. I mean, things going weird and going wrong and losing weight and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But don't buy into it. Just because that's the prognosis doesn't mean that that's the fact. It's not the truth. The devil comes around all the time. He's a liar, and the what is not in him? The truth is not in him. So you get lying symptoms or you know, even doctors, you know, my goodness, they can come up with the strangest things. I heard about this gal. She was going for 2 years to doctors trying to figure out why she was in pain and having all these problems and stuff like that. It turns out after 2 years of not knowing what was wrong with her, it was just her diet. She changed her diet and got on some supplements, and she's fine now. Doctors don't know everything. Come on. It is. That's what we, you know, after we had Faith so premature and the doctors, they never ran a test, not a single test, to find out what was wrong with Kathy. The neonatologist, who is the top in his field in the whole area, said, you have pregnancy-induced hypertension, and this will happen every time you get pregnant. Kathy said, no, that's not what's happening. Seriously, they didn't run not a single blood test. Not a one. Well, turned out she had something manageable. It's called antiphospholipid syndrome. All she needed was heparin, a blood thinner. Doctors don't know everything. So when you hear this terminal report, if Benny Hinn were to walk up to you or Billy Graham and say, the Lord told me you're going to die, get your affairs in order. Do you know that they're not God? They're not God. They can't hear from God for you. They're not, you know, we have no other intercessor except for Jesus. You can't go to the Catholic Church and have somebody intercede for you. That you can't. They're not going to help you. What's going to help you? God's going to help you. Our Father. We go to our Father in prayer. We say, hey, listen, this is what everybody's saying. Listen, I've been faithful to you all my life. I have walked according to your ways all my life. This is not how I want to go out. This is not the end of my story. Don't let somebody else tell you the end of your story. Hezekiah didn't let the symptoms, and he didn't let the prophet determine his outcome. Look, I'm going to add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the power of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. This is the sign to you from the Lord that he will do what he has promised. I am going to make the sun's shadow that goes down on Ahaz's stairway go back by 10 steps. So the sun's shadow went back by 10 steps. Listen, I don't know all of Hezekiah's prayer. And I don't know how much faith there is in crying bitterly. But this is one thing I do know. He went honestly before God. He took the report before God. He reasoned with God. And God so appreciated that. He said, not only are you going to live, but I'm going to get this city back out of the hands of the Assyrians. And just to prove that I'm true to my word, I'm going to make the sun go back 10 steps. Who can make the sun go back 10 steps?
Only God.
Nobody else can make the sun go back 10 steps. I can't make the sun go back 10 steps. I mean, if I walk backwards away from the sun, that might look like it. If we can see past the impossible, if we can see past what looks impossible, we'll see the possible. Look beyond the impossible thing that you've been told. Look beyond the impossible situation or the impossible circumstance. Maybe they're laying everybody off at work. Look past the impossible. What if they lay you off? Is God still your provider? You go before God. Hey, listen, they're laying everybody off. You know I've got a wife and kids. You know I've got a mortgage payment. You know I've got car payments. Whatever happens, I'm leaving this in your hands. But this is not the end of my story. This is not the end of my story. It just occurs to me, Cinderella. You know me and I love Disney. Cinderella. I mean, she gets this beautiful dress. The little birds and the mice help her make the dress. Right? And she goes down and she's ready to go. And her selfish little sisters tear it all apart. And she goes running out and cries. End of story. No. Beyond that, there's the fairy godmother who pops in on the scene. Well, God's not our fairy godmother, but I tell you what, he's a whole lot better. He's a whole lot better. He opens blind eyes, doesn't he? He causes the dead to live again. He heals the leper. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years sought doctors all that time, was none the better by it, only worse, and now in debt. You go to doctors for 12 years for the same thing and they can't make you any better. They don't stop charging you for it. You know what I'm saying? Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We see the story of blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, he's been blind, right? That's why they call him blind Bartimaeus. Even in the Gospel of Mark, they just refer to him as blind Bartimaeus. Because he's just blind Bartimaeus. He sees, or not sees, he hears Jesus and his disciples are coming, and he starts calling out to Jesus. And the people say, "Yo, you need to be quiet. Don't disturb him." He does one better. He gets louder. He just gets louder. "Jesus! Jesus!" When was the last time that was yelled in here? "Jesus! Jesus! Jesus! Jesus stops. Bring him to me. What do you want?" He's blind. Jesus knew that. He needed to hear it from Bartimaeus. "I'm blind. Been blind. Heal me." And he was healed. Listen, this, so much in life, we're faced with so many kinds of situations and different things that come up. And, you know, in the time that I've been here, man, we've been through, I mean, we've got a lot of the same musicians, but, man, we've been through several worship teams, right? You know? And, you know, my philosophy is, you know, you're not allowed to. This one here, she wants to move to Cameron Park. And I think, you know what? If man was my source here on earth, I could get jealous. And I could say, oh God, someone else, you know. Not that they're planning like right away. You'd still come here. Okay, you just need to get out of the snow. If my dependence is on a person to be able to be here, to meet a need, then I'm independent. I'm dependent on the wrong thing. If I need a whole bunch of people to help me build my ministry, then God's not in it, is he? Whose ministry is it? It's mine. Does God need to help me build my ministry? Whose ministry is it? It's his ministry. It's his church. This is his church. If everybody walked out tomorrow and we closed the doors, never to open again, whose church was it? God's. Wasn't mine. Do we do everything we can in the natural and depend on God like everything depends on him? Absolutely. You can't find a job. Have you been looking? God's not just going to open a door and drop one in on your head. Right? Yeah, use your brain. Whatever we do, we have to be able to look beyond this little closed door right here. You know, people are fond of saying, when God closes a door, he always opens another. Or, you know, when God closes a door, he always opens a window. I was thinking, I don't know that that's a scripture anywhere. It's not, is it? No, it is exactly. What did Jesus say? He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move, and it will be cast into the sea. He didn't say, go cry in the hall because the door's closed. You know, that's another one. When the door closes, just wait in the hall till another one opens. Oh my goodness, you know, a lot of these things, they're nice little platitudes and rhetoric that we say to each other that is supposed to help us feel better. But the truth is that God said himself through Paul that we have been given everything we need for life and godliness through Christ Jesus. I don't need to sit around waiting for somebody to find something for me that I can do. Get up off your butt and go do. Oh, we had this one man. We had graduated from Rhema, and we went back to the church where we were planted in at the time, and this man comes up to me, and he's new in the church. He says, oh, you guys just graduated from Rhema? He said, I did too. I said, really? You were just there? Well, no, I did the correspondence. I did the correspondence. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. What are you planning to do? And he says, well, I'm called to pulpit ministry. Oh, well, what are you doing in the meantime? Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the pastor to recognize me. Now, good luck with that. I know that pastor. Do you know how much I went through? Oy, the stories I could tell. I said, you ought to really be involved in children's church or youth or something like that and, you know, be stretching yourself and volunteering yourself and putting the gift in you that to use. Well, I just don't feel led to do that. I wanted to get a pencil and say, you see this? It has lead on the end. Feel this and go do something. Go do something. I mean, you know, talk to God about it. What am I supposed to do in the meantime? Nothing's happening for me over here. For years, we were youth pastor. We were administrator. Kathy was a board member. I was assistant pastor, associate pastor. Administrative assimilation pastor. You know, there's some weird titles out there. Do you know what I'm saying? Assimilation pastor. You know, only charismatics have assimilation pastors. The whole idea was to get people assimilated into the church. You know, so many titles. And then we went several years with nothing while sitting under pastors that are preaching, watching, getting close to pastors. Learning. And this is what I always say. The most important thing I learned is what not to do. Because that's really important. If you can learn what not to do, that's over 60% of the battle right there. If you know what not to do, don't panic. Don't respond out of need. Because when you respond out of need, when we were in Bible school, I responded us out of need a couple of times. And I said, wow, money's tight all the time. Let's get a second job. And she's like, it's okay. It's not, you know, it's not that bad. I'm like, oh, but we need some extra money. And I got us, you know, we were hosting at a buffet. Oh, that was a good job. Yeah, lots of food. That's where most of this comes from. And then after we did that, and that we got done with that, I said, well, you know, so-and-so says, you know, they've got this cleaning business. And they clean this preschool. Was it just twice a week? Just twice a week. It only takes about an hour. But you couldn't go in until, what was it, 10 o'clock? At night. You couldn't go in until like 10 o'clock at night. And then we had to clean all the stainless steel, and we had to vacuum, and it's a preschool. There's sand and beans everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Both times, I got us out of the will of God because of a temporary need. I couldn't look past the impossible, how that things were so tight all the time, and how we were going to meet our needs. When we first got there, we didn't even know you had to have tuition. Did we? No, we had to sell your car. We had to sell your car, well, I don't know, but it seems. I'll just defer to Kathy. We knew we needed tuition. We just didn't have it. How's that? And we didn't have jobs, but you know that didn't stop us from going. We knew we were supposed to go there. I was walking through my parents' house, stepped down into the sunken living room. You know they still make houses with sunken living rooms, and. Walked, stepped down into the sunken living room, and the Lord said, you're supposed to go to Bible school. And I started laughing into the Holy Ghost. Man, I almost fell out. You know, nobody laid hands on me. I just started laughing in the Holy Ghost. I couldn't hardly stop. And I knew when he said that to me, that meant we were supposed to go to Tulsa to go to Rhema. I called her. I could barely get the phone out. I'm laughing so hard. I mean, for the whole day, I'm just laughing in the Holy Ghost. I mean, I've got something on the inside, and it's just coming out of me, and I'm laughing the whole time. And it never occurred to me that it could not or would not happen if he said we were going to do it. We were there. I mean, part of our tuition problems was I had sold my car. That's what it was. I had sold my car, too, a couple years previous. And I still had the money in a savings account I completely forgot about. And I called my dad and told him about the tuition. He says, well, you've got all that money sitting in the savings account from that car you sold. I didn't know I forgot about the car because when the car was sold, I was doing drugs. You know? Anyway, it's true. I was a drug addict. I was a bad boy. But look, you know, here, you know, all these years later, we went there. God always provided for all of our needs. Everything we went through with having kids, God always took care of us. And look at the kids we've got. I mean, I've got I'm partial, but I've got the greatest kids. You know, with school being out, you know, Josiah's like a little Velcro bunny. I mean, he's like with me all the time, and he's building these little Lego things, and he's got this little Lego, like, space cart kind of thing that he's made on a ski, and it's really kind of cool looking. I said, that's really cool. You should make one of those when you grow up. So now he's planning on making one when he grows up. And he talks to me all the time about it. And, you know, here's the thing. If we had just taken that word from that doctor the first time, this is how it's always going to be, we'd have faith, but where would Josiah be? God knew. God knew. The same with Hezekiah. Hezekiah comes to God and he says, I've been faithful all my life. this is not the end of my story. Don't let somebody else tell you the end of your story. Don't let somebody else tell you this is how it's going to be. I mean, even if they claim to be a prophet from God. No. If it doesn't line up with what you're believing God for, they're not sent by God. The New Testament, and this is just added in, and then we're going to close up. The New Testament model of the prophet is not to be the word of God for you, as it was in the Old Testament. The New Testament role of the prophet is to prophesy in the same realm. But if they're prophesying something contrary to what you're believing God for, and you've got scriptural foundation for it, don't buy it. Don't go with it. Because the modern day prophet, listen, every single believer has the Spirit of God on the inside of them. I'm going to tell you what God told me when I was seeking prophecy. He said, you stop seeking prophets. If you want a word, you come to me and I'll give you one. God and God alone can give you the direction that you need for your life. Now sometimes, and I have found this to be true, I was preaching, when I used to do the PowerPoint presentations and everything like that, and I really, you know, that was what was kind of expected when I first got here, because the first time I preached, I was asked, do you have a PowerPoint? And I thought, oh, no, we'll have one next week. And so I was doing these PowerPoints, and we were up in Tahoe, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, quit doing messages for people that aren't there anymore, because the people that were expecting that were gone. I said, okay, I just sat on it. Then my friend Kim, who is given to prophecy, sent me an instant message on Facebook and said, the Lord told me to tell you to stop preaching to people that aren't there anymore. So what did the gift of the prophet do in that case? It confirmed what God already told me. Right? Don't let anybody else tell you how your story ends. Don't let anybody else tell you. Don't be led by other people's feelings or their need. If I was led by need when I first got here, what? I wouldn't be here. I would have been chasing people all over Pollock Pines. I can't do that. I got to be here for people that are hungry, people that need the word, people that want the word of God. I can't go out chasing. Someone would say, well, what about Jesus and the lost lamb? Yeah, there's that. And I've done that. But not everybody's a lost lamb. Some people, I'm just not their pastor. And if I chase after them and try to keep them, then I'm interrupting God's will for them and for where they're supposed to be. Not every pastor is for every person. Jesus said that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. In the same way as a shepherd under the over-shepherd, there are people that hear my voice and go, that's my pastor. Then there are people who hear my voice and go, I don't know. But as far as I know, every single person who left here looking for a pastor found one. I didn't interfere with them. I didn't try to stop. Because you can't do that. Jesus isn't chasing after everybody and saying, no, you need to be over here. Oh, praise the Lord. Is this okay? You guys follow that? It's just really important, in my estimation, as a pastor, just to follow up on that. And I told people who would visit here, if they look kind of like, I'd say, it's okay. I'm not everybody's pastor. And I'm okay with that. Because whose church is it? Whose it's not? It's not mine. Right? Right. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we've had here together tonight. We thank you for the awesome time of worship that we had. And thank you, Father, for encouraging us and helping us with your word and giving us strength and empowerment through it. In the name of Jesus, I just bless every person who's here and ask that you would watch over them, strengthen them, build them up, and encourage them, Father, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.